time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Is sliced bread a burner account for Lane Kiffin?
With SI's Pat Forty.
I will let Will Ferrell punch me in the face for the podcast.
Yes.
Here's Pat and Dan.
I welcome to the pod, and I guess that gives away.
You're not speaking in Mandarin or Chinese or anything, so...
I am not. Not only am I not in Chinese isolation, I'm not even in China.
Unbelievable.
I know. Twist, turn, plot twist. This was not one of those gimmicks to get you to watch, to listen. I was going, but then I did not go. It was deemed, I won't give away our company secrets, but our, you know, a high level discussion. We had a change of plan.
All easier. I know.
Go ahead.
Every ongoing saga we have had ended this week.
Ended on the same day.
They all ended on the same day. Caleb Williams picked a school. Jim Harbaugh stayed in college. And Dan Wetzel did not go into Chinese isolation. We lost it all.
And I mean, I would have to test so positive for COVID for them to get me now. Because they would have to come all the,
come all the way to Michigan and find you.
Yeah. The logistics and the limitations and there's a lot of reasons not to go to that Olympics. Plus, I didn't want to go. It wasn't like I was begging to go. So you're stuck with me for the whole month and there's no threat of me going into isolation unless my family puts me in it just because they were hoping I would leave for weeks and they would not
have to torpedo literally a month's worth of content in one day.
I will say this. We're making a sort of a list of reasons I should go to China and reasons I should not go to China. And, you know, dealt with everything from the COVID to the coverage ability to everything, right? Everything goes into it. And the end of the list, the only reason to go was pod humor. it was like 15 reasons not to go and one to go.
The pod is always pod the number humor. One reason to do something.
Well, pod humor be. And I've done the last 9. So why not 10? That was it. Now, and we determined why did it matter if, like, the fact that I went to Turin, Italy in 2006 has nothing to do with good. I should go to this. So, yeah, that was
it. But truly, pod humor should guide your every action.
Pod humor almost won out.
Listen, so much show you had a backpack because of
I'll
pod
write
humor.
Some jokes. I'm going to work on some stand-up. I'll work some jokes in. I'll do what I can for you guys. But, not getting ISO'd. So anyway, I think we got the most out of that joke anyway. Plus, there's too much college football going on.
Well, that we're not exactly hurting for topics. That's
no.
For sure.
All right. The Jimbo Fisher thing alone could have been an emergency pod. One of the all time greatest press conference. It's just epic. We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
We will start with this. Harbaugh back. Harbaugh not going to the Vikings. Yeah, I didn't get offered the job. I don't know what happened, but he's back. Michigan is happy he's back. It's not like one of those deals where some guy's like, I'm going to go see if I can go date this supermodel. But when she turned me down, I go back to my wife. All good. He's expected to get a nice contract. I give Jim Harbaugh credit for this. He did not play it for a contract. He did not hide it. He told recruits about it. He told recruits' parents about it. He told everyone about it. There was no, he's always done things like no other college coach. And I mean, it was crazy. There was a, you know, he was just out there saying, yeah, I'm going to go take a look. I want to be a Super Bowl winning coach. I'm interested in this. Deal with it. And there was no, you know, sneaking out of home visits. There was none of that. So at the end of the day, he's back. He's 61-24. He's got the Big Ten title. He's got the playoff berth. I think the question will be, do recruits look at him and say he's going to leave? Does it matter at a place like Michigan? And to me, this next 6 months is about securing the commitment of Dante Moore, the 5-star, absolute terrific football player at Detroit King High School. If he can get Dante Moore and push forward, Michigan is going to be in really good shape. It's just going they can't miss on a local 5-star quarterback. And that has to be job one right now for Jim Harbaugh to get a kid that quite honestly is kind of a natural lean for Michigan to go to Michigan and not Michigan State. Or Notre Dame, or Georgia, or Alabama, or everyone else who's trying to get in on them. So I think I think the way Harbaugh handled it, you could move forward from this.
I agree, and that you know what I see. I look at that and say, is it really impossible for coaches to be honest with people when they are pursuing other jobs? Is that we've created an entire industry of deception and secrecy, and I wonder whether it really has to be that way to function. I don't think so, but I just think that that's become the way we just got used to doing things, and that's why there are search firms to that exist to do back-channel negotiations. That's why agents are as important as they are. But the amount of lying that goes on in coaching searches from the coach and from the school is, to me, excessive. I've always thought it was almost borderline comical. I do, and I brought this up on the pod before. Go back 1989 when Kentucky basketball was replacing Eddie Sutton, and they talked to Lute Olson, and everyone knew they talked to Lute Olson, and he turned them down. And then they talked to P.J. Carlissimo, and they brought P.J. Carlissimo to campus, and he turned them down. And then they brought Rick Pitino to campus, and they got him as their coach, and it was great. I mean, it all played out in public, and since then, I mean, nobody can do anything publicly anymore. I don't fully understand why. So I think Harbaugh handling this in an upfront fashion, I don't anticipate this being some long-term thing. I'm sure some people will try to use it against him in recruiting, maybe successfully, but I'd be surprised, really, you know, if you say, he's going to the NFL. Because with kids these days, I mean, okay, I want to go to Michigan. I'm going to go to Michigan. If Harbaugh leaves, I'll leave. And you can go play somewhere else immediately.
Right.
So it's not like you're handcuffed anymore. So
this was incredible quote here. This was in the Detroit News. Angelique Shingelis, who's a longtime Michigan beat writer at the News, does a great job. And she called the Will Johnson is a top 10 player in the country in class of 2022, five-star safety. He is already enrolled at Michigan, right? Huge recruit for Michigan, that, you know, only gets one or two five stars a year. He calls his dad, Deion Johnson, who's played at Michigan, former player at Michigan. Might even have been a Harbaugh teammate. I don't know. Maybe not. I think he's probably younger than that. Calls him up, says, "Well, what do you think of this Harbaugh stuff?" And she called a bunch of recruits, and they're all like, "Yeah, he told me. Yeah, he said he might be interested." And he says, "He told William he was definitely looking. It's Deion Johnson, Will's dad. And if the opportunity came up, he's probably going to take it. Told him he felt the team is going to be good. They're going to win a lot of ball games, and they're going to do a lot of good things. But he wants to chase the Super Bowl. It's one of the things on his list is to be a Super Bowl winning coach." Just straight up. Yeah. And the Johnsons were like, "Cool." Yeah, if they offer me, I'm going to take it. Much like you, Will Johnson, I'd like to go to the NFL. And so, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know that this will... A lot of times when you do this, it can get used against you. I don't know. It'll be interesting. One thing I really like about Harbaugh returning is he's not skating out on Coach Third Base without getting getting a shot. Yeah, right.
You know what? Yes, right? He will go into the horseshoe against Coach Third Base next year.
Yes.
So
right. Third
base.
I don't think we call the horseshoe third base. I don't know.
Yeah, third base now.
Yeah. Right.
Ryan Day, it's probably unfair criticism, but who cares? This is the rivalry, right?
Yeah.
Ryan Day gets called, like, you win one of what, six?
One of six, five? Right? He's one and six, right? Seven games? No, they didn't play.
Yeah,
one and
five. They all had COVID that week. 1-5, and then you drop that bomb on Ryan Day and then bail.
And then skate, yeah.
Kind of shady.
Yeah.
Harbaugh will have to answer for his comments, which is all we ever want in great rivalries.
Absolutely.
And when he said it, I was sitting in that press conference when Jim Harbaugh said that line, and I just, obviously me, loving a good fight and anger and tumult, was just so excited. And then the idea of him going to the Vikings was going to be like, oh, man.
Yeah, right.
You know, yes. He'd get like banned from like Ohio State Pro Day or something like there would be some retribution, but not as good as this. I'm glad we're going to get that. They're going to get their shot at him, and we will see where that goes. But look, moving on, I don't know. Harbaugh back.
It would have been a really interesting coaching search, whether they would have gone inside with Gattis or Mike Hart, or whether they would have gone and tried to get Luke Fickell or Matt Campbell or PJ Fleck or Mark Stoops or whatever. But having Jim Harbaugh still in college football is good for college football. He is an interesting character. He's a successful coach. He sparks strong feeling one way or the other. So it's a win for college football for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. He's got a lot of work He's got a lot of work to do. Like I said, they need to be a little better in recruiting. They do a good job, but can he get this? You know, he talked about beating Ohio State as a new beginning. Can they upgrade a little bit? And like I said, right. I know the focus in 2023 is on Arch Manning, as in it's going to be real interesting. But Dante Moore is a big recruit in this class.
Yeah,
that can change a lot of fortunes. And then the state of Michigan's got another kid from Belleville High School, Bryce Underwood, who's a freshman, led his team to the state championship as a freshman. As a great quarterback, like you know, and I mean, these are both easy drives. Now there's a lot of history in Belleville and Harbaugh, but got a few years to clear that up, maybe.
There's no doubt they've got work to do. I mean, they need to become more explosive on offense. And they've just got to get physically tougher. That was the one thing that was shocking, I thought, about the Orange Bowl was this was a team that billed itself as hard, tough, smash mouth Jim Harbaugh football, and then they got punked at the line of scrimmage. The number of clips of Georgia players like destroying Michigan players was startling. So if you want to beat the SEC, they've still got to get tougher and stronger as well.
100%. All right. The final part of our three-way ongoing sagas. Caleb Williams is at USC. So basically, I stayed home. Harbaugh stayed home. Caleb Williams kind of stayed home because we've been thinking he's been going to USC for a month. So there was a bunch of nothing.
Yeah.
Bunch of nothing. Yeah. We all stayed home.
Exactly.
No one's in quarantine. Nobody in isolation.
Left. Nobody went anywhere they weren't supposed to go.
Right. Caleb Williams releases a video of at USC. They're pretty funny. I mean, like Snoop Dogg's in it, Dr. Dre, Ricky Bobby.
When Ricky Bobby's getting brought up around USC circles, you know, mid 2000s, that's when they were rolling. I'm feeling it back.
Very good vibes for the Trojans. Yeah.
Very good vibes to have Will Ferrell in the video. Remember when he went to the swim meet in the Speedos or there was like a team?
Oh, yeah. And I got a Will Ferrell story for you.
Do you? Good.
He wanted to fight me.
Oh.
He announced publicly that he wanted to fight me.
Rooting for him.
When
I do, too.
Yeah, a lot of people do, frankly. So, but you know, this drew a little more attention.
Yeah.
Now, when USC got hammered on probation because of the stories Charles Robinson was doing for Yahoo Sports, I wrote a column, you know, savaging USC. And Dan Patrick had Will Ferrell, the USC fan and alum, I believe, on his radio show, and he asked him. He said, "Dan, do you know Pat Forty?" He's like, "Well, yeah. Yeah, I've had him on the show." He said, "I want to fight him. Can you arrange for me to fight him?" So, but it never happened. We never had the cage match. The fight promoters fell down on the job.
Would have been fantastic.
Would have.
We could even stage it at the front yard of where they had Step Brothers and have you guys like take each other on with 2x4s like they did.
Will Ferrell coming after you.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been a NASCAR driver, professional skater.
Yeah.
He's been a lot of sports movies, right? They had
Blades of Glory or whatever.
He got that jog in old school. He was jogging.
He fought a grizzly bear in semi-pro. Like, yeah.
Yes, that's right. I think if I did get in the ring with him,
and I am still willing. I would just start by saying, we watch Elf every Christmas, Will. We love you.
You can't fight Will. You just give up.
I'll
give you my Will Ferrell story on that. So those Yahoo stories about USC, that one of the people involved, like the would-be sports agent marketing guy, was named Michael Michaels.
Yes.
That was his name, right? So in Blades of Glory,
yes,
the skating movie where his role was Chaz Michael Michaels. Remember, it was two dudes, the skaters, the skating pair. Yes. He named the character Chaz Michael Michaels in honor.
In honor of Reggie
would-be marketing guy that like gave Reggie Bush's parents. Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it decimated our program. But what a name. I think I'm going to make my male skater
throw a Chaz in front of it. It's even better. Chaz Michael Michaels. I mean, that is a really beautiful skater name.
I hope they're very funny. I hope somebody tries to pull off the Iron Lotus in the Olympics.
Don't do it. Don't do it. I need to watch that movie. That's going to get me fired up for the figure skating that I no longer have to watch in person. I know the international figure skating fans are really going to miss my coverage. Going to have to miss my coverage of the. I'll still be writing about it. Chaz Michael Michaels. All right. We got too much. We're off the rails. Caleb Williams. 1,192 yards, 21 touchdowns, 4 picks in 10 games last year for the Sooners. He follows Lincoln Riley to Oklahoma. Just an unbelievable. If you had sat there and said all these guys are going to USC in the final minutes of that game against Oklahoma State, like you just wouldn't believe it. Oklahoma will be fine. How good can USC be now next year? Non-conference schedule, Rice, Fresno, Notre Dame. The big conference games are at Utah and, of course, the crosstown at UCLA. So there's no Oregon. I mean, no one's. How good can these guys get, like, quickly?
I mean, you know, I did our way too early top 25 and put them in the top 15, and people were freaking out. Like, you know, and it may be an overranking, but like you said, the schedule is feasible, and they're just going to be immediately better. They are. Now, they still have, I think they have a long way to go on the offensive line and defense across the board, but particularly both lines have got to get better. So it's not like I don't see them going from 4-8 to national championship contender, but could they contend to win the Pac-12 South? Yeah. And could they possibly play in a Pac-12 championship game right away? Yeah. So, you know, they smashed the transfer portal like nobody else so far, and they're still not done. I talked to Lincoln Riley. I was out there last week. You know, he said that they will probably be busy in the portal till August. You know, after spring practice, there will be more movement, and then throughout the summer and into fall camps. And they said they have 35 roster spots. That's a ton that they're working with. They signed a small class, but the portal, they bring in 13 guys, by far the number one portal class since we now have those things. Travis Dye, the running back coming in from Oregon, is a huge get. Mario Williams is coming in at receiver from Oklahoma, where he was very good as a freshman. They've got some other skill guys coming in. They got Jerry Rice's son transferring in from Colorado who can play. So there's a lot going on there. And just the level of excitement when I was on campus was tangible, palpable. And everybody in the program knew Caleb Williams was coming. They just couldn't really say it, you know. So you're walking around, everybody's kind of got that cat ate the canary grin. You're like, yeah, well, we're expecting it anytime now. Or, you know, we're hoping to hear news anytime. But it was happening. And with that topped it off. And that just, they take a ton of momentum out recruiting. And they're like the 2023 recruiting, they are already very hot there. I think they've got 3 5 stars already signed, or not signed, but committed. So they are rolling right now.
Including Malachi Nelson, such a great quarterback, too. You know, the most important position, you're set for like 5 years, potentially. If you don't, Matt, there'll be a 1 year overlap, I guess, or 4 years. There'll be a 1 year overlap. But as long as that's the case, USC obviously should always have great quarterbacks. I think that the key to this is going to be they have a ton of skilled players. Skilled players are going to line up to play for Lincoln Riley. They always did. It's they have to get tough in the trenches.
Yes.
In the next few years, if they're going, they can win the Pac-12. But as you just said earlier, when Michigan's getting pushed around, it's just a whole different beast. You know, Michigan had two top 10 draft picks on their defensive line, and this is Michigan. Like, they have these guys, and they can't. It's, you know, can Riley do that? But yeah, incredible momentum. I would not be surprised if the opener is sold out at the Coliseum. You get back to that. You know, the Coliseum is one of the greatest places to watch a football game. College football game. It really is. Mm-hmm. When it's full,
right?
If it is not full, it is one of the worst places to watch a college football game.
The nickname was for those days was the Mausoleum, not the Coliseum, you know.
And yeah,
there were times it has been like a mausoleum, but when it's full, it is rocking. Woo, it's great.
It's rocking. It's downtown LA practically. It is just it's in a neighborhood. It's terrific. It's really, really good. The sun's going down. It's a perfect night. I mean, you watch a game there and you're like, this is awesome. But some stadiums can survive.
Yeah.
Some stadiums can survive at like 80% capacity. It's built what, 30s? It was built for like the 32 Olympics or something. They're having a NASCAR race in there.
Absolutely.
So big.
It is huge. Yes.
Yeah. It's not like one of these stadiums where, like, remember Ohio Stadium was like this. They had the track around it and they'd take the track out and lowered the field to get more seats and make it. And there's no hedges. It's not one of those deals where, or Oklahoma State's where literally like some of the stands are in the end zone. Like field of play, you got to run through the brick wall. They're having a NASCAR race inside the stadium. That's how big this thing is. So you need all the people there.
Yep.
But if you get all the people there, and when LA gets popping behind USC, now it's a little different. You got the Rams, and you got the Raiders, and you got the Charger. For a while there, it was LA's only pro team, in more ways than one, and it was awesome. Was awesome. When they got it rolling, you sit there and you go to USC and it's one of those places where you go, why in the world wouldn't every recruit sign here?
I'm telling you. I was out there in January, the dead of winter. It was 72 and sunny every day for a week. I mean, and it's a great school. It's a nice campus and everything. All the other amenities are there and your uniforms are great. Now your coach is really good. Everything. I mean, you want to talk about football sex appeal. Yes. But I will say too, in terms of energy, I've mentioned before the game they played against Cal when Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback. Ralph Russo, who has been to a lot of football games in a lot of places for the Associated Press. I was talking to him about that game. We both covered that game. He said it was the loudest stadium he's ever been in. So when the Coliseum rocks, it really rocks.
Wow.
Like to a high level.
Yeah. I've been down that field at LSU and I don't know. But rocks.
I'm not sure
and
I'd go there.
I remember talking to Pete Carroll. He had it rolling. And I said, it was something about like the challenges of recruiting. And he goes, there's not any challenges. He's like, I was an assistant coach at the University of Pacific. That was a challenge. You call people up and you go, you want to play? What's that? Are you on the Pacific? Actually, no, we're in Stockton, California. We're not even anywhere near the Pacific. He had this whole bit on it. It was very funny. I'm sure it was a dinner speech that he had given many times, but it was quite funny. He's like, I'm at USC, man. I call them up. First off, I got like 18 guys I drive around here and get. And I call a bunch of kids, best player in Jersey. Hey, interested in USC? No. Okay, next guy. I call the next best guy in this state. I just like, this is easy. Yeah, you want to fly out to LA? Yeah, they get out here. Boom. Drive them around Beverly Hills. Show them campus. You know, like either in or you're out. We're getting guys. If they can get that back, that's one of the things. It's like USC is not a program that should ever tolerate just treading water.
Right.
It's got too much going for it.
Yeah.
And if you are a kid in LA, we talked about this with Miami, why Miami is such an incredible recruiting advantage. And we're already seeing it on this recruiting class. And we'll get to signing day. If you are a kid in LA or San Diego and you want to play local, you want to play in an area where your parents and your friends can come see you, you want to play in the area you grew up, which is the number one reason kids sign at a school. Local talent, you have two choices, UCLA or USC. That's it. When you're in Atlanta and you want to choose and play in a place where your parents can come drive and see you, you can play at Georgia, play at Georgia Tech, play at Clemson, play at South Carolina, play at Tennessee, play at Auburn, play at Alabama, you could probably even go to Florida State or something like that.
Sure, absolutely.
Right? You have a million choices. You do not if you are a kid in Orange County. Or you're a kid in LA, or even San Diego, where like Reggie Bush grew up. And that's the deal in Miami. If you want to play local, one choice, Miami. Yep. Otherwise, you're driving 5 hours just to get to Florida. Right. And then it's another, and every Florida State and everything else is a plane ride. Huge advantage for those schools because of the ice. You don't get that in Dallas, you don't get that in Houston, you don't get any. LA, they should get those kids in LA. And the way Chip Kelly's recruiting, it's not like he's out there signing 25 kids from LA. So gold mine.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I will say that the eternal pretty goodness of UCLA has always mystified me, because they could do everything USC could do, and they're actually the campus is nicer and in a better neighborhood and all that sort of thing. But
I think the Rose Bowl hurts them, like, you know, yeah, but I don't know. But no, there's no excuses.
It's, you know, it's a hike to get to the Rose Bowl, and they rarely have atmosphere there. But I would like to see them have good teams and see if they could get atmosphere.
Yeah, they get atmosphere if you're good. They'll always come if you're good. All right, did we say enough nice things about USC that Will Ferrell no longer wants to fight you? I think we should.
I think so.
Will, if you're listening, let bygones be bygones. You guys, you know.
We'll shoot his publicist a link to this, and we'll see if he still wants to fight. I'll show up.
Really?
Why not?
Good publicity for the pub.
Absolutely.
Pat 40, Will Ferrell, celebrity boxing match.
Will Ferrell punch me in the face for the podcast.
Yes. That is what I'm talking about.
I mean, I'll try to punch him in the face, too, but, you know.
I like you, man, but you're crazy.
Shake and bake. All right. What were you going to say?
Oh, just the one thing I did want to bring up about Lincoln Riley and the momentum there. When I did the story on him, it's up on Sports Illustrated this week. The one thing that I was told that kind of answers the question that he deflected or outright denied before is that Oklahoma's big gambit to go to the SEC has worked against Oklahoma. It worked against him. Lincoln Riley, I was told by somebody who knows that the SEC move was not, quote, not enticing or popular with Lincoln Riley. So, you know, maybe there are other reasons he wanted to leave. He does know how to surf. The guy from Muleshoe does know how to surf. But everybody like, well, it's because he's scared. He's scared of SEC competition. No, he's smart, because he knows you can go win at a high level at USC and recruit the hell out of the place without having to get your brains beaten in by playing Alabama and Georgia and Texas A&M, and they're number one of all-time recruiting class, and Florida when they get back up and running, and Auburn and Tennessee and everybody else in that league. So I thought that was good insight and it answered a question that I think had been out there. It's like, you know, why would Lincoln Riley take that job? Well, there was a couple of good reasons, and one of the big ones was Oklahoma made a decision, puts Oklahoma's prowess in jeopardy, certainly takes a lot of their advantage, built-in advantage in the Big 12 away. So, it's one of those things, hooray, we're going to make more money. Well, does that mean your team's going to be good? I don't know. We'll see. So it cost you a coach who's pretty successful.
He basically traded in the Big 12 for the Big 12. It's the Pac-12's a 1-2 game schedule now, and he made a bunch of playoffs with OU, and now he's got even better recruiting grounds to do it. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, he does. He has the same advantages that he had at Oklahoma, if not more, at USC.
But to give Brent Venables a little credit, that was impressive to keep that class together.
No, Brent Venables, has come in and done a very good job.
So he's doing okay.
Staff and recruiting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think he will do really well. And I think Oklahoma fans have to exhale and look at this class and some of the kids they've got even committed in 2023, feel pretty good about it. And having a defensive-minded coach and some of the different things that you know, you say, okay, we're going to be all right. We're going to be Oklahoma. But that said, Oklahoma had the 8th best recruiting class in the country. It's significantly down. There's 4 really good classes. Texas A&M is ridiculous. Bama, Georgia, Ohio State. And then there's a drop in that talent, the talent gap. So you can be, you can Notre Dame has the 7th best recruiting class. It's pretty good. They got 16 4-stars. They have 0 5-stars. Right. 0. There's 6 or set. There's about 5 or 6 Texas A&M recruits that are rated higher than anyone at Notre Dame.
Right.
If you match up and you play a game where one team gets the first 6 picks at playground.
And
you go, well, my guys aren't bad. Well, they're better. Right.
Yeah.
So that's what you're challenging. Oklahoma's behind Notre Dame. So the problem is Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, 1, 2, 3. Texas, who you're going to play anyway, is 5th. Now you're in Oklahoma. But then there's nobody in the Big 12 for a long time. You know, and instead you got Tennessee, Kentucky. I mean, you're looking at this, the top 20 recruiting classes have Auburn at 18, Missouri at 17, Mississippi State at 16, LSU 14, Kentucky 13, Tennessee 12. So that's 6. And then you've got 4, 3 more ahead. So that's 9. 9 of the top 20 are SEC. And then if you throw Texas and Oklahoma in the mix, and presumably these kids will be playing in the SEC, yeah, 11 of the top 20 recruiting classes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Top 18 absolutely recruiting ridiculous classes. 11 of the top 18.
You expand it to 30, you got Ole Miss, Arkansas, South Carolina, right, and Florida in there.
Right.
Yeah, which is basically everyone except Vandy.
Everyone, right? Everyone but Vandy is recruiting really well, and you're going to have to play harder games. There's more harder games. The whole bit. We've said all along, careful what you wish for.
Yep.
These schools that switch leagues, who's had great success? Not Nebraska.
Utah.
No. Utah.
Utah.
Utah's at TCU.
Yeah, which was a straight upgrade. That was a no-brainer going from the Mountain West to the Pac-12. Well,
but they've been able to lift to that. It was a no-brainer for TCU.
Right.
But is TCU winning more games than they used to? No. And TCU's had a great coach and had a lot of really good players. But you're not, you know, you're not going 11-1, 12-0.
Right.
It's hard. You moving up, the advantage you think you have are gone. Cincinnati and these places are going to have to do better, you know, in their move. Utah's the only one. So be careful what you wish for. It's going to be exciting, but you are in the mix. I mean, look, people were bagging all over LSU yesterday for their recruiting. Are on Wednesday, right? If Brian Kelly's doing these dances and it's not, you know, he doesn't even get the player and you don't do this. He flipped a five-star Harold Perkins, a linebacker to LSU from A&M. That's higher than anyone he got at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He had 2 5-stars. This is his first year. He got a nice group.
Yeah.
Their average talent rating of his 15 players is higher than Notre Dame's 22. It's higher than Oklahoma's.
Yeah.
He got a nice group and everyone's bagging all over him.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
He'll be fine, but that's how tough this is.
Yes.
Like, 14th isn't good enough for LSU. They need next year and they'll be top four.
Right, right.
And that's the stakes you're at. It's just because in their division, they're sitting there playing Alabama and A&M every year and they're looking and going, holy crap.
Right.
A&M signed 5 top 30 players. Bama signed 4. Georgia signed 5. That's half the top 30. Three schools.
And they got the top player from Sweden, I saw in some graphic they tweeted out.
Right.
Going international there, Jimbo.
They hit the big Stockholm market.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So. And Texas, you know, Texas's class is 5th. It doesn't even count Quinn Ewers. Like, where are they if they have Quinn Ewers? Are they 4th? Probably. Maybe.
Quinn Ewers plus a whole bunch of linemen.
All bunch of best offensive line class. Like, it is on. It's going to be great for us, but it is. And so if you're Oklahoma,
it'll be hard. Yeah.
Buckle up. I think, you know, they've got the coach to do that, but it is a challenge. Same with Texas. Texas fans are a little salty right now because A&M's getting all the attention.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Texas had a pretty nice little day. They got a pretty nice group.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, I got to listen to these clowns over there. 12th man hollering. Let's get to the Aggie, the head Aggie.
Let's get to sliced bread, man.
Can we just play that tape, Sully, so everyone is... This is a little long, but I mean, this is, in my opinion, one of the 5 or 6 best coaching... I'd have to think about it, but one of the greatest press conferences I've ever heard.
Tremendous.
Especially consider it was on the late National Signing Day. So the backstory is, you know, everyone listening to this has heard the rumor, Texas A&M spent $30 million on their recruiting class. And Jimbo Fisher, who earlier this winter said on the Paul Feinbaum show, we've had NIL forever. It was just illegal. We didn't tell anyone about it, which I thought was a great cut. Now is taking umbrage at anyone suggesting that A&M, the kids went to A&M for money when it's legal. I thought that we'd be past this. Like, this is like, did the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go, we signed Tom Brady, but it wasn't just because the money we could pay him. He just really like, no, you get a free agent, you celebrate. It's the culture.
Has anybody been down the golf courses down here in Tampa? I'm offended.
anybody been to our beige, flat, boring campus in College Station and not fallen in love with it?
Yeah.
Limestone.
I mean,
it was a good point. No, it was tremendous. I said that the denial habits die hard.
Like, it really does.
If you spent your entire career saying nobody came here because we paid them, you're still saying that, even though it's now legal to pay them.
Yeah, what's the problem? All right, play the tape. I want to listen to
it. You kind of consider it a slap in the face or whatever when there's these thoughts out there that it's because a lot of money is being spent, and just your
thoughts. Here's what I'm going to say, and this is point blank. This is point blank to the, because here's my problem. There is no $30 million fund. There is no $5 million. There is no $10 million. This is garbage, okay? And it does. It pisses me off that people, and here it comes from a site called Bro Bible by a guy named Slice Bread. Then everybody runs with it. So it's written on the internet as gospel. How irresponsible is that? You got, I'm going to tell you, there's some very reputable writers in college football and sports that wrote it and have said it and have done things. That's unbelievable to me. When I first heard it, I laughed. I said, oh, yeah, what a clown. I mean, I didn't even think anything of it because I don't have social media. And it kept building in lately. I've heard more about it. To me, it's insulting to the players that we recruited that's why they would come here. You ever been to a game here? You ever come to school here and see the education? You ever talk about the 12th man, the Aggie Network when you're done? There ain't a better university in this country. It's insulting to what you
ain't
say.
A better university.
And we got writers who have said it and done it off Sliced Bread. A guy named Slice who made it up. Love to see who Sliced Bread is and put it out there with Sliced Bread. Let me find out where it comes from. And then to have coaches in our league and across this league to say it, clown acts. All right? Irresponsible as hell. Multiple coaches in our league. And the guy's griping about NIL, griping about transfer portal, using it the most and bragging about it the most.
That's lame. Kevin.
That's the ironic part. You want character? I'll take it with any of y'all. It's a joke. It does piss me off. The other thing, when you look at
you know,
vice president, I get another pause. Vice president of Notre Dame.
It's like when your parents get to that one. And the other thing, now you know you're really dead. Yeah. Oh God.
Oh no, he's still going. Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Put the glasses on and the other thing. Yeah, that's a
and the other
move.
Thing. Oh geez.
When you look at vice president, I get another one. Vice president of Notre Dame. Supposed to be a reputable university, right? That's a heck of a person leading a reputable university.
Reputable.
I'd be real proud if I hired that guy. Reputable. Read it off Sliced Bread. But they say it because it's written on the internet. We worry about the kids and social media and internet. How about grown-ups? How about the guys that's supposed to be setting an example? How about writers who are supposed to be writing the right thing? How about coaches who are supposed to be doing the right thing? And I'll tell you what, I know how some of those guys recruit too. Go dig into that.
Yeah, that's.
I know the history. I know the tradition. I know things. Trust me, you don't want to go down that.
Yeah,
path.
We do.
Yeah, I do. I do.
It's ridiculous.
Go down
and it's irresponsible.
All right, I know.
It's unbelievable.
Well, I mean, whoo.
Yeah.
Jimbo, buddy. Exhale. We didn't write it. I wrote a glowing column about Texas A&M's and them and Jimbo maximizing the program finally. No Sliced Bread here. All right. So Sully, explain the backstory of Sliced Bread because I got confused somewhere. Is this like pumpernickel? Is this like wheat? Is
sourdough? This
like, yeah, what kind of bread are we talking about? There's a lot to know here.
So Bro Bible does not have anybody named Sliced Bread working for them. This is actually a poster. They aggregated an OU poster on what looks like to be 24/7's website.
Okay.
And it said, and he's got like a... He might even be a Gamecock fan, actually. He's got like it's a little like Gamecock holding a football, and it says, the number I've heard is between 25 and 30 million. That was as first signing day. We're nowhere near prepared to dish out that kind of money. A&M's donors were extremely coordinated, yada, yada, yada. So that's where the number came from. And Bro Bible, the website, aggregated it. And
it went crazy.
And everybody went crazy.
Beautiful modern journalism, Bro Bible, whatever that may be, aggregating a poster who goes by Sliced Bread.
I always say, you guys hate the media. Y'all hate the media. Social media is a lot worse, man.
Yeah.
Sure. We do have some standards. Like
we do.
Oh, we're supposed to. But yeah, Sliced Bread, I don't know that he doesn't know. I'm not just going to dismiss him because his name's Sliced
okay,
Bread.
Okay, so he is an OU insider.
Mr. Bread may know what he's talking about. I
Mr.
Don't know.
Bread or Mrs. Bread.
Or Mrs. Bread.
Yes. I don't think we can put pronouns on Sliced Bread.
We shouldn't.
So, Miss let's Bread. Not do that. Yeah. Miss mm-hmm. Bread, they, them, whatever. I'm not here to judge Sliced Bread. I'm not here to put Sliced Bread in anything. Whatever Sliced Bread got. But yes, he's got a good point. The $30 million was ridiculous. You know, you would have a $120 million or maybe $100+ payroll on a college football team. That would be pretty extraordinary. I don't know if we'd ever get to that. I will rule nothing out. All right, so let's start. Let's just take a moment to toast the absurdity of a national championship winning coach talking about Sliced Bread. Sliced bread is sitting around.
Yeah.
Grinning, laughing hysterically.
I would hope so.
Holy crap. I threw that up on the internet and Jimbo Fisher attacked me.
On National Signing Day.
On National Signing Day. I mean, that's college football, baby.
Sliced bread is the new Sir Yacht, who predicted that the Big Ten was coming back every day.
Yes. Yes.
Sir Yacht. I love it. Sliced bread, you could turn this into a business. Tailgate with sliced bread, sliced bread appearances. Yeah.
You could have the most expensive sliced bread in America and say, yeah, there's big money from sliced bread.
You could open a bakery. Sliced bread. Sliced bread approves this local bakery in Norman.
Sliced bread gives Sooners an NIL deal.
Absolutely fantastic. I just love it. A moment to appreciate the absurdity of this sport. Sliced bread. First, again, it's like the Lakers. You did not have the Lakers come out and get upset at the idea that they signed LeBron James and were going to pay him, let alone did they say some guy named Sliced Bread, like a bitter Knicks fan. What is going on? All right, moving on. Full attack on Lane. The Lane train he is now feuding with LSU and A&M. He's made fun of Brian Kelly for dancing.
Yep.
He's now in a full-on feud with Jimbo Fisher. He tries to get in a fight with Nick Saban, who just ignores him.
He did beat both of them, so it could be a little salty.
I love it. Lane knows what's up. Yeah. I mean, he fought with Urban Meyer. I mean, this is his thing.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah.
We love it. This is his thing. Jimbo talking about it. I don't even know the integrity, all of that.
In this leg. Pronounces league as leg.
Leg.
I mean, leg. Let me say this. He's like, the coaches should be better. Basically, what he's saying is you should be better as a coach than to take the word of sliced bread. Does anyone think Lane Kiffin really is better than that? I don't.
Absolutely not. Lane Kiffin, I am fully convinced.
He might be sliced bread for all
we
know.
Lane Kiffin does four things. Eat, sleep, coach, and surf the media. Surf social media.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he does. He's all over the place. So.
Is sliced bread a burner account for Lane Kiffin?
On OU sites?
Fair question.
I love that.
Fair question. I let's see if we can get somebody, you know, in the great state of Mississippi to answer that question.
Until sliced bread reveals he or herself,
Lane Kiffin is the number one suspect.
Because he'd be very smooth. Lane's good with the trick plays. And going with the OU part. And doing it out of Oklahoma.
Posting on an OU board with a South Carolina little like logo.
Right.
Yeah. That's a Lane Kiffin cover the tracks move. Lane probably has a burner account for every school in the SEC. You know?
Why is Jimbo Fisher not on social media? He's like, I don't go on social media. And I was like, everyone says, I don't read. I don't read what they say.
Oh, right.
But let me just tell you, in the 43rd paragraph on this of Bro Bible. Yeah. I didn't appreciate the most famous coach line of all.
I didn't read it, but I heard about it.
Someone showed it to me. Yeah, I heard about it. Mm-hmm. Remember John Calipari, when he was in Memphis, he was feuding with the paper at one point. He goes, my favorite part of the day is backing out of the driveway so I can run over the what's the paper there called?
The commercial appeal.
Over the commercial.
He recycled that line at Kentucky too with the Herald.
Yeah, Rangers. I probably did. Yeah. It's a good one. Good one. And you're like, hey, at least you're subscribing. We're getting 33 cents a day out of you. So also Notre Dame, reputable school, Pat. Is it? Jimbo says it's reputable.
Fact, I think it's pretty reputable. Again, if you go to Dan Wetzel's favorite metric, the U.S. News and World Report college rankings.
Yes.
U.S. Notre Dame is significantly more reputable than, say, Texas A&M.
Reputable. I like that. Yeah. What a classic. Reputable.
Yep.
A few people have gone there. It seems like they do achieve an education.
Maybe.
Reputable. Not the greatest university in the world, according to Jimbo or whatever the language is.
Texas A&M is the greatest university in the world. Yep. This should come as shocking news to Harvard, Princeton, Stanford, Yale. But they need to now catch up to A&M. Gig them.
gig them. I mean, look, good enough for me. I wasn't getting into any of the reputable schools. I wasn't that much more in line with A&M. But I mean, A&M, they gave the world Dude Perfect. That's, I mean, that's something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny Football.
Johnny Manziel football. Went there. What? Yeah. Speaking of young scholars.
Yeah.
Who no doubt were intrigued to go there because of the educational opportunities. 12th man. I say this about the Aggies. He's right about that. Those Aggies, man, they do not turn their back on their old players.
No, they will. I'm sure the 12th man network is legit, real, and I'm sure a great thing for a lot of athletes who have gone through that school. So we'll give Jimbo points for that one.
I'm sure Johnny hasn't paid for a round of golf. So and he plays a lot of golf.
Johnny won the Heisman and beat Alabama, baby. He's on scholarship for life.
Yeah, he is set on that. Yeah, there ain't a better school or university in this country. Probably don't want to use the word ain't in that sentence. And I'm somebody who has known. We got writers who said and done it off of sliced bread. I mean, it's not like he went there. All right, so like, I mean, What Mississippi game, which coach wants to kill Lane Kiffin more? Jimbo or Brian Kelly?
Oh, I think Jimbo now. For Jimbo to fire back for three solid minutes, including strafing Lane for being a hypocrite, which he is. There's no doubt about that. Lane, you know, bemoaning the transfer portal and then mining the hell out of the transfer portal and using NIL certainly to get people like Jackson Dart. Yes. So I think, as is usually the case, most people want to kill Lane.
Brian Kelly is the new neighbor that started mowing at 7 a.m. He just got to the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, he's too new. He kind of pissed you off. You just need to go talk to him once. Lane Kiffin is the guy that's been throwing parties for like years down your block, keeping you up. So
right. He's got like a rusted Camaro out front that he's just changing the... He's going to get a new drive shaft one of these days. That baby's going to purr. Lane, we don't have the funding resources at some schools with the NIL deals. It's like dealing in salary cap. He says some schools can pay 5 to 10 times more. I joked I didn't know if Texas A&M incurred a luxury tax with how much they are getting paid for their signing class. That was from Lane Kiffin?
Yeah.
Very good line.
He actually said that.
Very good line.
This is just hysterical. A&M and Mississippi, who combined for like 33 major NCAA violation cases. This is all from Ross Dellinger. apparently are arguing over who paid more when paying the players is legal.
Right. Again, denial dies hard. It's hard to wrap your arms around publicly acknowledging, yeah, we won this kid because we paid more. But that's what's happening. You are, I guess, cheapening your own virtue and your own work ethic. You know, it's like, oh, no, we just outworked them for the kids. That's, you know, which was always what they said, but they were always getting paid. We just didn't know. And now we do. I mean, I've had SEC administrators tell me the three schools that are positioned to do the best in NIL are Texas, USC, and Texas A&M, that they've got the boosters and they've got the commitment and they're ready to go hard in that area. But
it's whoever wants to get organized, though. Yeah, but if you get organized,
yeah,
they can't. I guess you can pay everybody that money, but kids are still going to want to get on the field. And you can still pay a lot of money.
Yeah.
You can still. There's no way that Texas A&M has more money to pay all 25 recruits than Mississippi can have for one player.
Right. No. I mean,
it doesn't work that way. Like, get your guys organized and pay it up. You know, they did this with facilities.
Right. Exactly.
They did this with facilities. And so instead of building unnecessary locker rooms with like space stations in them, the kids get the money directly.
Yes.
So much. And they could go build a house for their parents. It's better. Right.
Yes. It's far better.
They tear down these football facilities. Oh, we got a $53 million this. Not, you know, like what?
Mm-hmm.
For what purpose? I would say the New England Patriots have one locker room and they have a field in back and they have a bubble that they occasionally play in. Otherwise, that's it. It's the New England freaking Patriots.
Right.
I think they know how to play football.
Yeah. No, you can't win the facility race at that level. You've been able to win the facility race at the college level before, but now, yeah, this is a better use of money.
Urban Meyer was trying to win it, and look what happened to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Meyer came and thought, we got to have a better facility. It's like, no, you don't.
No.
Like, have you been to the other NFL facilities? Like, no. Your players. Put your money into the players. And obviously, there's a salary cap. I don't know. I mean, look, I'm just whatever. Like, there's always been cheating. There's always been overspending at certain places. They're just, we don't need, I'm just a lot happier if players are getting the money than waterfalls, whoever builds a mini golf course or a waterfall. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And that, speaking of cheating, though, as Jimbo, this is also one of my favorite coach speak things, is Jimbo alluding to what's gone on. And I got stories. I got information here. We don't want to go down there. Yes, we do want to go down there.
Spill that tea.
But this is every coach in America is, oh, yeah, I could tell you. You know, I'm not going to tell you. Why not? Tell us.
Well, then half the time they tell you and it's like you'd be like, all right. They'll be like, so just, this is just Coach X, you know, the state, it's like the Dr. Pepper schools, right? State says Tech's cheating, right? And you go, all right, well, what are they doing? Well, I'll tell you. We had Johnny Smith lined up, and at the last minute, he switched Tech.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, I just know something happened.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, thanks for the tip, Coach. You ought to get on that. Like, what do you think? I'm the FBI.
Why don't you write about that? Because you didn't give us any information, any real information we can actually use.
If I go over to Tech, they're going to say you did it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, well, all I know is his mom. Mom was driving a new car. Well, his mom's a nurse down the. She's allowed to buy a car. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
where did they get the car? This? How much did the car cost? Who got it? You get that over and over and over. And hopefully we're actually past that to a degree now with NIL. But the number of coaches I've had with vague, unsubstantiated cheating claims, could fill an entire book with them.
Right. I mean, it's not like, well, all right, like they were living in a trailer. And the trailer got pulled away, and then they built a 4,000 square foot, 5-bedroom house.
Right?
Something happened here. That's not how it happens. Like, you know. So yeah, it's just. Oh my God. Anyway, Jimbo, you won. You won.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. You won signing day. You don't have to wage war against sliced bread.
Literally, just locked up the greatest recruiting class according to some services ever. Like, and you're ranting for 3.5 minutes.
I always said, like, this is the other thing, like, you want every recruit in America to hear that Texas A&M might pay $30 million to a recruiting class, because when you do call, they're going to take that call.
Yes, they are.
They're going to be like, what? Oh, that guy? Yeah. I don't know anything about your campus. I don't know where it is. I don't know what an A&M is. But I heard that guy's got 30 mil.
Yeah, it's beige.
Jimbo, call me right now.
It's in the middle of nowhere. Oh, but you're paying a lot of money? Okay.
This is the best publicity you could get, is people thinking you're overpaying. Now, I don't know. Maybe it hurts you later when you're like, dude, we're going to get you like $50,000. They're like, what's the other $29.5 million or whatever?
$5 million. That might be it. They are being
overpriced. Now everyone's like, where's my million? Right. Yeah. That could be a problem. That's probably what he's chapped about.
Yeah, you got, what, 5 or 6 5-stars, and 4 of them are saying, wait a minute, did they all go to that
maybe
guy?
Maybe that's Lane's trick. It's going to be like, look, if you're a top recruit at A&M, you should be asking for $5
million. I mean, we only got 250 here, but...
Right. But I think you should try. You should ask Jimbo for $5, $10 million to sign there, because they got that kind of money.
Yeah. But if he's not giving it to you, then they're prioritizing somebody else.
They don't care about you, but you should come over to the SIP. Ah, I think I finally cracked the code here. Or Lane's just mouthing off because he thinks it's funny. That's how I would recruit against A&M right now. They don't really like you unless Jimbo himself is writing a personal check.
Yeah.
That's one way to get him.
I heard that defensive lineman from Tennessee, he got $2 million. Talk to Nolan. Yeah.
Bizarre recruiting day story of the year. The Campbell Camels.
Yeah.
Okay. Ended up with a top 80 class.
That's amazing.
They flipped a kid from Arkansas
who was also considering like Florida, and was it Michigan, Auburn? I can't remember, but I mean, he had
the
like,
FCS is something else, man.
Hey,
the Campbell Camels. And we know Jackson State. We have two teams are above 12 different group of five Yeah, amazing. Are we Campbell fans now? Everyone wants to be a Campbell. Yeah, finest university in the world. You come here and see the Campbell mascot. Who doesn't want to be a Campbell?
who doesn't want to go to Buse Creek? I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. Buse Creek, North Carolina.
North Carolina. I thought it might have been South. Yeah.
No. Founded in 1887 by a 26-year-old Baptist minister.
I watched some Campbell games in the dog days of the spring season. And
didn't we bet one? Didn't we bet that?
I believe so.
We did bet a Campbell game.
I think I was
on the right side of that one.
Yeah, you could have, of course.
That whole Presbyterian thing failed. My man never punt. He didn't go so well.
Never punt. I'm also not going to win.
That also prevented me from becoming Presbyterian.
Camel, a lot like my gorilla opinion, there should be more camel mascots too. That is a glorious animal that can survive in the desert on very little. Like, they're sturdy.
And
underrated.
Yes. One of the news of the weird stories we never got to was about the camel beauty pageants that they have in the Middle East. They apparently, it's like you're prized for your big lips and the size of the hump and all that sort of thing. And they wear jewelry.
They have really very long eyelashes too, because of the sand.
Long eyelashes.
So you could curl those things up.
yes. Very New York Times story on the camel beauty pageants.
All right. Well, let's look this up. But I would be very close-minded of you to think all camels look alike.
It would be.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah. Anyone who thinks there wouldn't be a camel beauty pageant. The camel's like the New Orleans Pelicans in the NFL, NBA. I mean, like the pelican is a badass bird.
Oh, yeah.
Like that thing deserved to be a mascot. We have too many tigers and all. I mean, I'm all fine with a tiger, but too many of them.
Yeah. Too many tigers, too many wildcats.
And you think a camel isn't tough? You go take it on.
Yeah. Go spend a year in the desert, live off of a drop of water.
There it is. Camels are tough, and they can be fast. They can move.
All right, here's a story from the BBC on the camels. A Saudi camel beauty pageant is cracking down on cosmetic enhancements. More than 40 camels have been disqualified from a Saudi Arabian beauty pageant for receiving Botox injections and other cosmetic enhancements.
There you go. Sheikhs with so much money, they are spending it on Botox for camels. Man.
It is part of the King Abdulaziz Camel Festival.
The old saying, you can't put lipstick on a pig, but you can put Botox on a camel.
You know how much prize money is at stake at this camel festival?
How much?
Two A&M recruiting classes.
60 million?
66 million.
What? Come on.
66 million in prizes. This is the BBC. So it must be true. This isn't sliced bread.
It's more than like the F1 race over there.
Sliced bread said it was 90 million. No, 66 million. Key attributes to winning include long, droopy lips, a big nose, and a shapely hump.
That's such a big purse. They should televise this thing.
This is getting creepy. Should. I'm sure they do. Again. Judges used advanced technology to uncover tampering with the camels on a scale not seen before, according to the state-run Saudi press agency.
What is the advanced technology? What are they doing?
All contestants were led into a hall where their external appearance and movements were examined by specialists. Their heads, necks, torsos were then scanned by X-ray with 3D ultrasound machines, and samples were taken for genetic analysis and other tests. See, if the NCAA was serious about catching cheaters, they would do crap like this. This is you get caught cheating in Saudi Arabia, you don't know.
That's true.
This ain't going to be no probation or something.
You could be beheaded. It's possible.
27 contestants in the cup for the certain kind of camel, I don't know, alone were disqualified for having stretched body parts, and 16 were ejected for having received injections.
Yeah, trying to get a bigger hump. Like
the organizer of the pageant, the Camel Club, I was expecting a better name, were cited as saying they were, quote, keen to halt all acts of tampering and deception in the beautification of camels and promising to impose strict penalties on manipulators. Okay, they described how Botox was injected into the camel's lips, noses, jaws, and other parts that had to relax muscles. Collagen fillers were used to make their lips and noses bigger, and hormones were given to boost muscle growth. Rubber bands were used on animals to make body parts bigger than normal by restricting the flow of blood. What the hell?
This is like Real Housewives of Abu Dhabi, except it's with camels.
And we're arguing over whether somebody got paid who's allowed to get paid. These Saudis are like torturing the animals.
60 million.
Where's the
lot.
Human rights or the animal rights group here to protest this?
Yeah, PETA gets mad about, like, you know, like the McRib comes out and we get a press release about that. There it is. Sorry. Jason Barker, Senior Vice President of the Animal Rights Group, PETA Asia. Man, being a PETA spokesman is bad in the United States, but subjecting any animal to cosmetic procedure from ear cropping to declawing, dehorning, and filler injections is hideously cruel and shows humans who are such taxes to be extremely ugly. I kind of agree with
that.
Yeah. I do think we should continue to use real pig skin for the football. I'm not ready to go that far on you guys, but I'm on your side on this one. I'm willing to.
Do not cosmetically enhance the camels. The Campbell University mascot is Gaylord the camel. What does he or she look like?
I hope natural. I hope the beauty is within. Enhanced? The beauty is within.
I hope they have a real camel in North Carolina.
That would be awesome.
Trot out like the Colorado Buffalo.
Yeah, run him on the field. That'd be amazing. They're so fast. Oh,
yeah. I'm looking it up, and it appears to simply be a really kind of unconvincing, stuffed animal.
But at some point, I'm on Gaylord's Twitter page. He did meet a real camel. He is next to a real camel. So
really?
At some point, there's a football stadium in the background. So they have had a live camel in North Carolina for him.
But Gaylord, does he have a hump? Okay, no, I'm now seeing a picture where there's kind of a little hump in the back. So.
Yeah, a little, but not much.
No. They need to do better. If they're going to have a top 80 recruiting class, you need a better camel.
The old school logo is amazing, though. He's like running. It's like the SCB Mustang.
Good-looking camel.
Yeah. We need an upgrade on the camel.
I just don't like, camel beauty pageant is, I guess it's like the dog show, kind of.
Yeah, but they can't, there's not doping problems in the Yukonuba Cup, I don't think.
You sure?
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. There's not a $66 million purse.
If there's a contest, people are cheating.
There's even a statue of Gaylord the Camel in front of the John W. Pope Jr. Convocation Center. And it's very kinetic. Front leg up in the air. Other three on the ground. It's moving. You know, it's like that Buffalo Bills when they went from the standing buffalo to the charging buffalo on the helmet.
It's a charging camel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the charging camel. I like it.
All right.
That's how they got the guy to flip from Arkansas to Campbell is by showing him the statue of the camel.
For the first time, I'm regretting my decision not going to China. I didn't know there'd be camel beauty talk.
We're deep into the camels. We need.
All right. This is going to be a long pod. This is crazy. China sized pod. All right. Let's get to this one. This episode's most sent to a story, of course. Occurred when people were sending the video. I think I actually found this and put it out there of the all-out brawl at the Golden Corral buffet in Pennsylvania. Now, I'm a fan of the Golden Corral buffet.
Of course.
Haven't been in a little while, but there's quality stuff at the Golden Corral buffet. And I've been there, and I'm not going to lie. If someone takes, sometimes someone's got to get got for taking the last Salisbury steak. That apparently is what happened in Pennsylvania. This is from the New York Post. If you have not seen this video, you can find it on my Twitter feed. This is not a fight. This is a Donnybrook. They are throwing chairs, tables. What are those high chairs that you put babies in? High chairs are getting hucked around. People are getting punched. This is from the New York Post, which is all over the story, of course.
Of course.
Dozens of ticked off diners got into an all-out brawl when after the eatery ran out of steak. shocking footage from the Friday fracas.
I want to give a shout out to CBS 3 in Philly too. They actually sent a reporter to do a stand up in front of the Golden Corral.
They did a stand up in front of the Corral. I love it.
I love it. This guy's talking. He's got like a K95 mask. Like, dude, it's much. He's outside with a mask on doing the interview. Much more dangerous just to go inside the Golden Corral. I'm glad he's being safe now, but it's you take your life in your own hand. So the workers at the restaurant tried to calm everyone down. There was a shortage. This Gavin Loretta told KYW TV in Philly, there was a shortage of steak and two parties were involved and one family cut in front of the other family. They were taking their time and they ran out of steak and it got into a heated exchange at the tables. All right. So, I'll people's court this for just the two of you. Okay. Justice 40. Do you convict if there's a shortage of steak at the Golden Corral buffet and someone cuts, do they deserve to get smacked upside the head with a child's chair?
100%. Look, I mean, you're only going to Golden Corral for one reason, right? Is the steak. Now, I have many tangential thoughts on this. One, I want to know this. Like, you're going to Golden Corral for cheap steak, let's be honest, all right? So how do you decide where the good steak, like, how do you know? This is where we need our meat judging teams. We need the Texas A&M meat judgers and the Texas Tech meat judgers and all that. Do you look at a cow and say, that's a Golden Corral cow, and that's a Ruth Chris cow, and, you know, this one's going high end or what? How does that happen? And then do you have to wait until you cut
first
open
off,
the cow? And
first off, look, why are you assuming a cow was involved?
Well, steak, you know, that's my first assumption. That's where I'm starting. That's my baseline.
There is a man in the video saying, all I wanted was some steak. And then so, yeah, but chunked a chair.
Golden Corral, is that like in, you ever go to their menu? It might be in like quotation marks. Look, the steak is the steak. You want your steak. Some guy cut. You can't cut at the Golden Corral line.
No, you can't
cut the line. There has to be some kind of like social contract between the Golden Corral patrons. Yep. The line must be respected.
That's right.
Maybe like if it's like late in your meal, you know, you want to jump in and grab like one of the little Jell-O cups or something. That's fine.
Jell-O cup. Probably a lot of Jell-O.
You can't jump on the entree area and cut the line. It can't happen. We don't have a society. Yeah, we don't have one.
There are rules. There are social compacts.
I think whoever started it, I'm on the side of the brawl.
This isn't the Wild West, even if it's named Golden Corral.
It is kind of the Wild West.
Well, and I mean, but that's the thing. If you go Wild West by cutting in line, then yes, you get Wild Wested upside the head with the children's chair.
You get Western
Frontier Justice. Yep. Frontier Justice right there.
Frontier Justice in the line there. The thing that breaks my heart about this, though, too, is like we almost lost our buffets to the pandemic, right? They were all shut down for a long time. We finally get our buffets back. You can't then just go flouting the rules and conventions of buffet eating. You cannot be cutting in line and lose people them again. Stealing their steak. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to lose them again. We can't have lawlessness at the Golden Corral.
Got to lock it up. All right. That's our pod. I don't know where to go after that. Talked about camels.
If anybody has any meat judging insight on how a cow gets, you know, assigned to Golden Corral versus somewhere else, I'd like.
We need to start just making a list of the unbelievable phrases that get said on this podcast that you never thought, like sliced bread, like camel injections, the English language gets pushed to the boundaries here. We say phrases that have never, ever been uttered before. And never know where this podcast is going. We have a little rundown that Sully puts out, and then it just, I don't know what happens. I have no idea what happens.
No. So eventually, we end up on Botox injections for cancer.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. We'll try to keep it under an hour, but we'll see what happens on Monday.
Everyone will still be bitterly disappointed at your lack of Chinese isolation.
Sorry. Living free here in the United States of America. God bless America. Gold medal for me. No regrets.
We didn't even get to Kevin Steele jumping ship again.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much meat on the bone.
Big episode next week. Big episode. Yeah. Please share us on social media. Tell your friends about us. Keep listening. Subscribe. Leave us a nice review. All that. Come on. It's the middle of February. We're working here for you.
We're doing our best.
Where's sliced bread? Talk to you later.